Welcome to Two Fat Daleks. My name is Doc Wheatley. And this is my good buddy Rorschach. How you doing, Rorschach?
Hello, everybody.
Oh, it's smooth, Rorschach.
Well, I'm in a sexy mood because I got Maisie Williams fever.
Oh, I got a fever.
God, please tell me she's over 18.
I don't know. I'm not as familiar with her work. I know she's on. She's apparently a Gamatrone. That's what I've read.
Yeah, okay.
She's right. A Gamatrone.
You don't like that genre. I understand.
She is 18 in April.
God damn it. Well, 17's legal here now.
No. She was 18 in April.
Oh, I'm clear then. I'm clear. You're clear. Oh, my God. She is 18 now. I hate
creep. All right. I'm back from a week's hiatus. Well, 2 weeks because we didn't record an episode last week. Thank you for filling in for me, Rorschach.
That was a fun show I did.
It was, and you did it. You did an impression of me, and it was spot on.
And I had a bunch of errors that Doc fixed. I think I kept saying
I jumped in at the end and corrected some errors. You kept calling the episode Under the Water. Under the Water, when it was called Under the Lake.
Well, technically.
Under the Water. Under the Water.
Yeah, I had fun doing that, though. Yeah. But I missed you. So.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, you prick. All right, so we were going to record last week. I had just moved in. But then at the end of the episode, it was like, to be continued. And I was like, yes, a two-parter. I could put it off a week.
Right.
So it wasn't announced as a two-parter, but it was one pretty much. A loose two-parter.
A loose, yeah, I was going to say that, yeah.
Yeah, because it is two separate stories. But yeah, anyway, let's start with the first one, which is called The Girl Who Died.
Yes.
Ominous title. This is the Doctor and Claire. Claire is stuck in space in a spacesuit, and she's got like a creature inside her suit.
Yeah, she said it was some sort of
space spider.
Space spider. Yeah, we never saw it.
Then the Doctor teleports the TARDIS around her and pulls the suit off of her and crushes the space spider with his foot.
I thought that when the Doctor goes, no thanks for my amazing teleportation skills, you know, and that was pretty amazing what he did.
Yeah,
you know, if you think about it. I saved you from getting your brain eaten.
Yeah. So then the Doctor lands somewhere kind of random to scrape the spider guts off of his foot.
Yeah.
He just lands in some grass. It turns out he lands in Viking times, which I have an immediate theory about you, Rorschach.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that your problems with this episode have to do with Viking lore.
Some of it. Yeah. Most of it.
I did have Dean, one of our fans, Dean, ex-Shy Kid Dean, posted on our Facebook wall, Vikings don't have horns on their helmets in real life.
That's one problem.
Yeah. Yeah. He also mentioned that they make mention of corn in the episode, but back in that day, corn just meant grains in general. So that's okay. Actually a legit word.
And electric eels are tropical fish. But
To me, we'll get to that. But to me, the Vikings could have tropically traveled.
That's true.
Weren't they always going around places?
Yeah, and you know, if you listen to some people, they discovered North America.
Yeah.
So we're talking about the 12th century here.
Yeah, around there, around about that time. So some Vikings show up and they're like, haha, we've captured you. And, the Doctor tries to scare them by putting on his sonic sunglasses.
Yeah.
And one of them just grabs them and breaks them in half.
Because this technology is thousands of years more advanced than anything you ever have. And he just, it was great.
Yeah. So then the Doctor. The Doctor and Clara get dragged back to the Viking village.
Clara's still in her spacesuit, by the way.
She is still in her spacesuit.
She looks ridiculous.
They arrive back at the Viking village, and that's where Maisie Williams is. And she's a young woman named Ashielder.
Right.
Yeah. And the doctor tries to use magic to, like, impress the Vikings. But, you know, his idea of magic is just to do a yo-yo in front of them.
Yeah, he said, this is the sign of... He said he was Odin.
Yeah, he said, I am the vessel of Odin or some shit. Or, yeah, he claims to be Odin. And then they're like, you're not Odin. He goes, how do you know? Have you ever seen Odin? And then the sky opens up. And this giant face appears, like in Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
I was just going to say that. That looked exactly like God. Yeah.
And, it goes, the Monty and he Python goes, movie. I am Odin. and he goes, I'm here what does he want? He wants to, like, commend their warriors' bravery.
Right.
By inviting them to Valhalla.
Yeah, which means killing them.
Yeah. So a squad of these, like, big fucking robotic-looking suit guys show up, and they start teleporting, like, the warriors of the village to Valhalla.
And, Doc, I was sure I had seen them before. They look similar to the Rhino police.
They did kind of look like the Shadow Proclamation.
Right. Yeah, that's what
bigger heads, though.
Yeah. That's what threw me off for a second. But
They look kind of like they'd be something in an anime.
Yeah. They look like... Yeah, exactly. They look like old Gundams.
Yeah. Old Gundam style. So then they start teleporting all the warriors of the village to Valhalla, in quotes. And the doctor's telling Clara, like, look, we need to not get... They can't... If they scan us, they'll see we're important and take us. We don't want that. But Clara is being like, no, we have to help them. And she runs up to a shielder and hands her half of the Sonic sunglasses and tells her to think of the word, like, unlock, to unlock her chains. While she's doing this, one of the robot things scan them and be like, oh, these two are tough, and it takes both of them.
Turns out they're not robots, though, right?
They're not robots. They are creatures in there. It's just their battle suit.
I'm starting already.
Started from the bottom, now we're here.
It's called foreshadowing, people.
Ah, just a little bit of that foreshadowing.
Yeah, and so they also take, I forget how they got Clara and Maisie. How did they just teleported them,
they
right?
They just teleport them, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
They just shoot a thing at them and teleports them.
I must have looked away from the TV when that happened.
Yeah. So Valhalla is just the alien spaceship in the sky.
Yeah, with a very cruel death trap.
Yeah, I thought they were about to fucking Resident Evil movie this, where he was going to get chopped into a billion pieces. But yeah, they got this death trap where if you run in this one room, it pretty much explodes you with light.
These laser fans came on, and yeah, this one guy ran in there.
Yeah.
Like the chief ran in there, and he got obliterated. Nobody else moved. So the wall, this was very uncomforting. The wall started to push them out, didn't it?
If
I remember correctly.
So.
What, am I jumping ahead again?
No.
Okay.
You were right there. I was just letting you do it because my memory of that was foggy. I just remember that they got, Clara and, a shielder got out of the trap where I think everyone else died, right?
Right. They ran to the other end of the hall
and
started trying to pull the door open, and then it cuts to commercial. So, you know, it's one of those cliffhanger things. But, of course, when it comes back from commercial...
They had gotten out.
They've gotten out, but apparently all of the others died.
Yeah.
And they're...
Fuck.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm just... I woke up literally before calling you.
Oh, okay.
So
I was responsible, Doc. I got up at 6 and rewatched these episodes.
Oh, so. He's a good boy. You know he wants it. Okay. So Clara and a shielder meet Odin, who is the leader of... they're actually called the Mire, the species of alien that they are.
Was that what he called? I thought he was saying Maya.
No, Mire. M-I-R-E. It's his accent.
Oh, Mire. Yeah. Mire. Okay, all right. Great warriors.
Yeah, it's a species that prides themselves on their merciless reputation. That's directly from Wikipedia.
And what did he say? That they're... skillful, they're skillful warriors because they don't hang around once they, or something like that, right? He said they don't, after they conquer, they move on. And
I don't even remember that, but.
Okay.
Probably. So they meet with Odin, in quotes. Clara's trying to, like, she's like, you know, hey, you could tell I'm not from around here, my spacesuit. I have this technology. And she's trying to kind of negotiate peace. Like, hey, look, you know, these villages, bunch of fucking idiots. Just leave them alone.
Right.
But a shielder is pissed. Oh, and the aliens, what they do, which I thought was interesting, is that they harvest testosterone from the warriors and they drink it.
That was weird. Yeah, he, when they killed the guys in the hall, apparently that, because they're warriors, they're men, and that's why Clara and Maisie lived.
Yeah,
they didn't care about them
because they don't have a fuckload of testosterone.
Right.
Yeah. So you know, Clara's trying to negotiate peace, but a shielder's just found out that they're pretty much drinking all her Viking buddies. So she gets pissed and she declares war on them. Yeah. She's like, "We're gonna fucking kick your asses, you pieces of shit. Go fuck your mothers."
And Clara was. Clara told her to shut up.
Yeah, she's like, no.
Now, mind you, that was all of this village's warriors. There's nothing left in the village but fishermen and farmers now.
Yeah, yeah. So Odin says he's going to launch an attack in 24 hours, and he sends Clara and a shielder back to the camp. And, you know, the doctor's happy to see Clara because he was all freaked out that she was taken.
Do you agree with me that they're building a more of an emotional attachment this season?
No, they're definitely, even if it's not romantic, they're definitely, like, they love each other dearly.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Last week on the show, when I said that, Doc said, no, they didn't. No, they aren't. But we are meant to. Okay, we will stop with that.
That was funny. No, she isn't. Impression of me. All right, so the Clara lets Doctor know that the Mire are going to attack them in 24 hours. The Doctor tells the villagers that they should leave. You know, none of them are fighters. They're all the fishermen and shit like that, and farmers. He said, I think his exact quote was, y'all motherfuckers should get out of here.
I believe that's exactly what he said.
Yes. Oh, you're sonicking me.
Yeah. No, I was sonicking my orange juice.
Oh, okay. Making it a little more sonic.
Yeah.
That's good.
So, Clara...
He tries to convince the village that they should just leave the village. Right. But they refuse, you know, saying, like, this is our home. And they're willing to make a stand. So the doctor's like, well, we should leave then. And that's when Clara has to, like, convince the doctor.
Clara's lust for adventure is insatiable this season.
And the doctor has a speech about how, like, it's just a small village.
Yeah,
and he's worrying a lot more lately about the ripples that he, you know, the ripple effect and how he kind of interferes with the history.
He's doing a lot of things. I think
because he's like, look, it's one village. Let's say we help them defeat the Mire. Then now we've got a target. Now we've just put a target on Earth's back. Like, oh, look at this fucking place defeated the Mire. Let's go check them out.
Yeah.
So he's worried about shit like that. And he goes, they should really just leave. And then he hears a baby crying. And he starts translating the baby because the doctor speaks baby.
Well, yeah, some guy said, at least we'll have honorable deaths. And the doctor heard the baby crying, and he says, will the baby have an honorable death?
Yeah, yeah. So he's translating the baby, and the baby's like, oh, I'm scared. What's going on?
Look at me, mommy.
Yeah, look at me, mommy. I will sing for you and shit like that.
He's done that before, hasn't he, with the baby?
Yeah. He talked to Baby River Song and Baby Stormageddon.
I always found that creepy.
Yeah.
I don't want to know what a baby's saying.
I do. You ever see Look Who's Talking? Great movie.
Oh, it's one of the best.
Yeah. The doctor is hearing the baby, like, plead for help. And then the baby stops crying. Because he mentions that babies can sense danger. They have to. That's, like, their survival skill is sensing danger. So the baby suddenly stops crying, and Clara goes, oh, you are going to help them. I can tell you've decided to stay and help them because the baby stopped crying. Like, the baby doesn't sense the danger anymore because now the doctor decided to stay. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do, but I didn't put that together.
Yeah. So he starts trying to train the
my favorite part of the show here.
Fisherman Vikings. And they keep fucking up.
Because, Doc, and I don't know if you noticed this or not, the doctor did what we do. I don't have time to learn all these names. You're ZZ Top. You're Morgana.
Chuckles.
You're Chuckles.
What was the one? The big one. He called him like Lanky or
yeah,
something like that.
That's not my name. Yes, it is. You're Lanky.
Yeah.
Which tells me that they've been listening to Two Fat Daleks.
He called one of them Gimpy because he had fucking sorted his own leg. they're kind of pathetic and, like, he has them try to fight each other, and one of them sees blood and passes out.
It was a great cut.
Yeah, it was this whole, training montage. Yeah,
Doc, he goes, time for the real weapons! And then it fades to black, and when it comes back, the village is on fire. There's people running around, and it's just, yeah, that was funny. That was a good, I got a good laugh out of that.
Yeah. So then the doctor kind of wanders off, and he checks out a shielder's room, and she apparently is a storyteller who uses, like, puppets to tell stories and shit. I forget the conversation they have, but it's pretty much like, you have to help us.
Yeah, she had built an Odin puppet, right?
Yeah.
Because she was, like, challenging him and, you know, and all that shit. And what did he say? I don't remember it either, Doc. It must not have been...
They had some poignant scene. I just can't remember it off the top of my head, like the shit they said.
I can't either.
But then he hears the baby crying again. And he sees that the tall guy, who I think he called Lanky, I'm pretty sure I got that name wrong, though, is the one carrying the baby. And he goes, oh, that's his baby. I didn't realize that. And he's translating the baby again. And they're headed into, like, this little barn because the baby wants to see the fish.
Yeah.
And he hears the baby say, fire in the water. And he's like, wait a minute, fire in the water. And he runs in there, and they have electric eels.
A lot of them.
And he realizes that they can use this. Like, that makes him go, wait a minute, okay, we are going to win. This is perfect. And so us, the audience, are like, how is this going to work?
I figured it out, Doc.
You figured out what was going to happen?
Yeah, he's going to use the electric eels. I thought for a second they were just going to throw the electric eels on the robots.
Gotcha!
You know, and it'll short them out, but he came up with a much more... Oh, no! Well, I kind of got it. I kind of got it.
Okay.
He makes a big...
So the Meyer arrive the next day, and they're all just having a party. like the villagers and the doctor are having a party, and you
there's
know,
dancing, drinking, yeah. eating,
and the Maiar are confused, so they don't attack right away. It reminded me of Guardians of the Galaxy at the end when he's like, "What are you doing?"
Yeah,
yeah. when he's doing the dance off, pants off, dance off. So,
excuse me.
This one of the villagers looks like he's paying ring toss, and if you look, he's throwing copper rings onto the antenna of the robot suits. And then they turn. The doctor goes like, "Now," and they have like the eels hooked up to, metal shit on the ceiling.
Right.
And, this guy just like bangs the side of the eel bucket so that they electrocute. And, it makes like an electromagnet because they're electrocuting metal.
A very powerful one.
Yeah. And that pulls the helmets off of the Myers battle suits, and causes them to like overload.
And they look like fish.
They look creepy. Yeah. They got awful teethus.
Yeah, it's more like reeds or something they have for teeth, and
yeah,
you know what I mean. It looks like, you know, to suck krill through.
Yeah. So the doctor grabs one of the helmets and like modifies it and gives it to a shielder, she is now kind of in control of stuff they see. Through the helmet, she's able to like project a mental image to everybody wearing those helmets. So she uses that to make them think a dragon has just shown up.
Right.
And the soldiers are like, "Oh no, this is fucked up." Bah! And they're like running away from the dragon and shit. The Maiar all retreat except for Odin. Fake Odin. And then that's when the doctor's like, "Hey, that wasn't a dragon. It was just this big, dumb fucking puppet we made." a shielder was able to make you think it was a dragon by constructing a narrative, a story. That's why she was a storyteller.
Yeah.
Through your helmet. And Clara recorded your, like, you guys getting all freaked out about this big puppet.
On her shitty old iPhone.
Yeah, she recorded it on her iPhone 3.
Her iPhone 3, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, Clara, where did you even find that?
And the Maiar is big on their reputation. And so the doctor threatens to broadcast the recording through the galaxy to ruin the Maiar's reputation unless they leave.
With the Benny Hill music.
That's right, he put the Benny Hill music over it. I forgot about that.
What's that called? Yakety Sax?
Yakety Sax, yeah. Yep. Odin's like, "Ah, fuck, you got me, you prick," and he leaves. He tries to threaten the doctor one more time, and he goes, we will be back, and the doctor just grabs something off of his chest, which causes him to teleport immediately, and he's like, "Get the fuck out of here." So everyone's like, "Yay, we won, we beat the goddamn pieces of shit," and, they notice a shielder is still sitting over there with a helmet on. And the doctor was like, "What the fuck?" And he pulls the helmet off and she's dead. And it was the strain of using the helmet caused heart failure is what happened.
Okay.
So the doctor's like upset cause he didn't save everybody and she was like his favorite person there.
He just kind of walked out of the room. Remember, yeah.
Clara tries to console him, and this is where we get a big payoff. The doctor sees his reflection in the eel water.
Oh, yes!
And he remembers why he chose that face.
Yes.
That face, the face he has, is also the face of, I don't know how to pronounce this, Caecilius? From the Pompeii episode, also played by Peter Capaldi. If you remember in that episode, the doctor's like, "Look, Pompeii happens. We can't save everybody." And Donna starts crying. She's like, "Can't we just save at least one person? You know, just do something." And that's when the doctor decides to save Caecilius. and right. his family. And that's when the doctor remembers why, that's how he figures out why he chose that face. He chose it to remind himself that he's the doctor and he saves people. And that's what he needs to do. Even though he can't save everybody, he can break his own rules sometimes and save people.
I loved that.
Yeah, me too. I thought that was a perfect way to explain the face.
Yeah.
Cause I was wondering how they were going to do it. There were people thinking he was going to go back to Pompeii and pose as that guy. There was all sorts of weird theories.
Yeah.
This was a short and sweet, made sense, reasoning.
So the doctor goes, I'm going to save
a shielder.
Yeah. I keep wanting to call her Arya Stark.
Is that her name on Game of Thrones?
Yeah. Okay.
So he actually modifies a computer chip from the Meyer helmet and implants it into Shielder's body. And what that does is that kind of heals her. It's like a...
Nanobots.
Yeah, I think it's something. Nanobots that repair you. So that puts her back to life. And then you see the doctor looks kind of worried, and he gives them a second chip, and he's like, here, this is for later. And they're like, for what? Does she need a second dose? And he goes, no, it's not for her. It's for whoever she wants. So, you know, everyone's like celebrating, like, yeah, she's alive. And then they take off, the doctor and Clara, and the doctor confides to Clara that what he has done may be worse than death. The implanted chip will never stop working, making a shielder effectively immortal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's starting to worry, like, you know, I was emotional. Maybe I might have just fucked up right now.
And by the way, I've often thought about that. I think that's a fate worse than death.
Immortality?
Immortality is, you know?
You ever see The Man from Earth?
No.
Oh, dude. I think it's on Netflix. Watch The Man from Earth.
Okay.
It deals with immortality. And it's really good.
All right, I'll take The Man from Earth.
The Man from Earth, yes. I think it's on Netflix. Anyway, it reminded me of that. So then, like, the final shot is a time lapse of a shielder kind of watching the world age around her.
Yeah, and I, oh my God, I fucking love this so much because when the camera starts on her face, she's smiling, she's happy, and you guys have got to picture this. It's like the camera's rotating around her. The stars are all moving real fast. Trees are growing, going up and down. You know, mountains are growing and disappearing. And it comes back around and you see her face again and she looks like she's been punched in the gut.
Yeah,
you know?
She goes from like, happiness to sorrow. And then at the very last shot, it looks like she turns hostile.
Yeah.
She just looks angry. And then it just goes, to be continued.
And I thought, oh my God, this is great. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I said, I cannot wait till the second episode to this.
Yeah.
By the way, were these two episodes written by the same woman?
No, which is why I thought that, I thought it was not a two-parter at all.
Okay.
Because they weren't. Usually, typically, two connected stories like that would have the same writer. The first half, the one we just talked about, was written by Jamie Matheson, who wrote Mummy on the Orient Express and Flatline from last season. Okay.
I loved Mummy on the Orient Express.
Which is funny because in our episode where we talked about it, you said you hated it.
Yeah, I really like it now.
You changed your mind.
Yeah.
And then Flatline was great. That's the one where everyone turns flat.
I don't remember that.
They're getting stuck in walls and shit. It's creatures. The doctor's stuck in a tiny TARDIS.
Okay. Yeah. I'm with you now.
You're with me now. The next part was called The Woman Who Lived. And this was written by Catherine Trigena. She previously wrote for Torchwood. She's never written for Doctor Who before.
Ah.
But she wrote for Torchwood. She wrote the episodes Out of Time, Captain Jack Harkness, Meet, and Adam. Which, if you've never seen Torchwood, none of those titles mean anything to you.
Torchwood is a spinoff of Doctor Who, though, right?
It is, yes. Which is not on anymore. It ended.
Yeah, I had it canceled.
You had it canceled?
Yeah.
It was okay.
I started a letter writing campaign.
What I thought was weird about Torchwood is they took a beloved character, Captain Jack Harkness, from Doctor Who, and anytime he's on Doctor Who, he's really funny and stuff. And they on Torchwood though, he's brooding.
Right.
Like they tried to make him not funny. It was weird.
I have to confess, I didn't watch it.
Torchwood.
Yeah.
Well, you did not miss it much. It's okay.
Has there been any other spinoffs of Doctor
Who? Capaldi was in Torchwood also, by the way.
Oh.
He played a government official.
So he's been connected to Doctor Who and its subsidiaries for a while.
He is right, motherfucker. So I'd say just judging the first episode alone, I quite enjoyed it.
Yes, me too.
It was a funny episode. It was kind of a romp with series shit thrown in there, like the death of the Game of Thrones girl.
And I love that the doctor knows who ZZ Top is.
Yes.
And, we give our grades at the end, but needless to say, I really, really like these two episodes.
There you go. Cool. All right. Well, let's go on to the second one then. The Woman Who Lived, written by Catherine Tregenna, who we said previously wrote for Torchwood. This one opens with a stagecoach being robbed by this deep-voiced person on a horse with a mask.
Stand and deliver.
And they're like, oh no, it's the nightmare. Apparently this person is wanted, and they're the nightmare. and they're like, give me all your money and shit, and that's not all of it. I'm looking for something else. And the doctor also lands in this area, and he's got some device, and he's looking for something, too.
A device I don't think we've ever seen before.
No, there's a new one.
Oh, and Doc, something else I've noticed this season, that liquid goo panel on the TARDIS is gone.
Really? I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
The one where you stick your fingers in?
Yeah.
Ah. Probably didn't. No stories that need it this year. Take it out.
But I have a song to sing here.
Oh, go ahead.
I was a highwayman. Along the coach roads I did ride.
Sword and pistol by my side.
Okay, Doc knows it, so. All right.
I flew a starship. Across the universe divide. That's a great song.
Yeah, it is.
The highwayman. Okay. I had to spit something out.
Yeah, I've got that too, man. My sinuses are blowing up this morning.
Yeah. So, then the doctor is led towards the stagecoach that's being robbed.
And you got to picture this. Nightmare.
The Nightmare.
Nightmare's on one side of the stagecoach. Pistol pointed at these two people inside. The doctor gets in the other door.
Yeah.
And says, oh, don't mind me. I'm just looking for something.
Yeah.
It was funny.
And the Nightmare's like, what are you doing? I'm robbing these people. And he goes, oh, hold on. I'm just looking for something. And the Nightmare's like, stop it. Get out of here.
I love when the doctor's like that because it makes him seem even more alien than he's already supposed to be.
Disconnected.
He's disconnected. He doesn't really understand. Well, he does understand what's happening. He just doesn't care.
Yeah, kinda. Like the Nightmare kept threatening him, and he was like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. What'd you say?"
Yeah. And she repeated. He repeated it, and he goes, "I'm sorry, I still wasn't listening." Yeah.
So finally he finds this thing in the back of the stagecoach, and his scanner thing is like, beep, 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 this is the fucking thing you're looking for, beep, beep, beep. And
Jesus, that thing's got a mouth on it.
It does. Boy, I tell you, man, that thing curses like a sailor back in Saskatoon.
Oh, jeez. Guys, that's Bob Hope we're doing, by
the
way.
That's a terrible Bob Hope we're doing.
You young kids won't understand that, but your parents will.
There's this radio show I used to listen to. I'll cut this, but they had a fake Bob Hope that would call in, and he would say, this is Bob Super Polygrip Hope.
He did do those. And I loved Bob Hope. Well, he'd have Ann Julian. He thought Ann Julian just hung the moon, man. He would have her on everything.
Boy, I tell you, this Aunt Julian, she's a hot tomato. All right.
All right, okay.
So
please leave that in.
While the just leave it in anyway. Oh yeah. While the doctor and the nightmare are arguing about who gets to keep the thing he found, which is in a box, he hasn't even opened it yet. The stagecoach just drives away really quick.
Out of panic.
Yeah, and with taking the box with it because he hadn't picked it up yet. So they're like, shit. They both yelled, shit.
They're both just standing there staring.
Yeah. And the nightmare's all like, you ruined my robbery, you fuck.
And we don't know who it is yet, but when does he say, I wondered when I would ever see you again, doctor? Doesn't he say that? And
he said he calls him doctor, and yeah. but says it in a girl voice.
And the doctor goes,
the doctor's
what
like,
the
wait,
fuck?
What the fuck? Yeah. And then the nightmare jumps off the horse and pulls off his mask and reveals that, nope, it's a shielder from the last episode.
Who is now going by the name
Me.
Yeah.
She does not remember that her name was even a shielder.
Yeah, I know. Wasn't that cool? I mean, you gotta imagine what. Okay, now we're in, what, the 17th century, maybe?
Yeah.
And so it's been 650 years since the last episode, the last time we saw her.
Yeah. I have an ex whose name I can't remember.
So, are you serious?
Yes, like last name. I couldn't look her up because I don't remember her last name.
Doc, that's not good.
Well, I know, but that's what I'm saying is that imagine right. Someone living for 800 years, they're going to forget a lot of shit.
Yeah. You know, and that's something that's always bothered me about, you know, the elves and the dwarves and fantasy lore. They live thousands and thousands of years.
And apparently they're elephants who remember everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but still, it's a cool part of the story that she was like, shielder?
Yeah.
What?
And you know, she goes, what took you so long, old man?
She remembered him, though.
Yeah.
Which makes me think that the doctor will see her again sometime in the past. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or am I?
So I have a theory about her, by the way, and I'll tell you it at the end.
Okay.
So they're kind of talking and he's like, you know, how you been or whatever. And she's like, oh good, you've come here for me. And he's like, what? And she goes, yeah, you know, to take me with you. And he goes, no, 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 no. I'm here to get this fucking artifact. It's alien technology that shouldn't be here.
What was it called? The Eye of...
I can't even remember.
It was some sort of Greek thing.
It was an amulet. Eye of Hades.
Yes, that's what it was.
Yeah,
yes.
That's what it was. So she's been living for about... What is it, 600 years, they said?
That's my guess, you know, judging about when the Vikings were prominent, and then we're talking about highwaymen and, you know.
Yeah.
Just a guess.
But I was a sailor.
It's an accurate guess.
I was born to watch the tide.
What was it? I fell into the wet concrete below. And I was buried in that tomb in Mexico or something. I don't know. It's been a while since I heard it.
Yeah.
But the song is basically, okay, well, we won't get into the fucking song. We'll do it's the Highwaymen by the Highwaymen podcast.
Yeah, exactly. So, she's pretty much isolated herself in order to avoid the pain of losing anybody.
And become very, very rich over the past few hundred years.
Yeah, because she's stolen a bunch of shit.
And she lives in a huge house.
Yeah. And the only reason she still continues to steal is because she said it's fun.
Right.
Yeah. So then she's also looking for this amulet. She doesn't really explain why.
She kind of leaves
and he's left behind to read her diaries.
Which she has like this library with all of these nondescript books on them, but there's hundreds of them.
Yeah.
And it's, oh, and God, it was so sad because it's turned out she's had kids and been married.
And they died of the Black Plague.
Yeah. Oh, and she also said, and Doc, do you know that that mask that looked like a crow that the doctor picked up?
Yeah.
That was called a plague mask worn by plague doctors. And you know what they kept in that nose
What's
cone
that?
Of it?
What's that? What? What's that
oh,
I said?
Like cinnamon, lemon, sage, mint, and stuff like that to stave off. They thought breathing in the reek of the dead bodies would infect you.
Ah.
So they put that stuff in the nose of that mask to, okay, history lesson.
History.
And also, she was in the Battle of Agincourt, and the Battle of Agincourt was ended the Hundred Years' War of Britain against France, and the longbow, which the doctor held, and she used in the war, was instrumental in defeating the French. Wow.
Nice. Okay. Thank you, because I didn't know any of that shit. So thank you.
So that's been the history lesson for today.
He also warns her of future shit, like the and this is kind of a cool like Doctor Who lore thing. He brings up the Great Fire of London. And she goes, oh, perhaps I'm the one who starts it. And he goes, no. And he goes, no, it was caused by the pteroleptals, which that is from a fifth Doctor story, The Visitation. And you find out that an alien species called the pteroleptals started the Great Fire of London.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So that was Doctor Who, some Doctor Who lore thrown in there. I'm a little fuzzy on this episode. I watched it last night. And I was already tired. I didn't fall asleep during it, but I just don't remember a lot of details. I didn't get to watch it more than once, pretty much.
Well, okay, I think that, Maisie, I'll just call her Maisie, she said, you know, her and the doctor start talking about, why were you there? And he goes, I'm after this amulet. And I think she knew the people that were in that carriage, right?
Oh, yeah, and also, they make mention that the doctor goes, last time I saw you, you were starting a leper colony.
So, oh my God, they have met each other.
Well, he says that, and she's like, wait, I didn't see you. And he goes, well,
right,
yeah,
right.
I stayed hidden. So apparently he's been checking in on her without her knowing.
Yeah.
And even when they bring up the Black Plate, he goes, oh yeah, the Black Plate, I meant to warn you about that.
Can I give you a little trivia about the Black Plague that not a lot of people know?
Sure.
You know, of course, it was a very superstitious time, and a lot of people thought that witches with their familiars, black cats, were causing the plague, and there was a mass murder of any cat that had the color black on it, solid black cats. Black cats almost went extinct during the Black Plague. Now, here's the irony. The Black Plague was caused by fleas on mice. They were killing the mice's natural predators. And that's why it spread so bad out of people's own ignorance back then.
Friggin' dummies.
Yeah. True story.
True story. So they come up with a plan that she knows where the amulet is. So if they sneak into these people's house, they can steal it.
Apparently she's a good burglar, too.
Yeah, she burgles well. So they sneak into this house and find the amulet, and it's all pretty and like, ooh, shiny colors and shit. And as they're going to leave, a maid walks into this room they're in, so they kind of like run out of another door, and they end up in a room where a guy is taking a nap on a couch.
Yeah.
And so they try to sneak by him, and he wakes up. Because he hears the floor creaking, and he goes to investigate. And then the doctor accidentally knocks something over. And you hear the guy from the other room going, there's an intruder in the house! So they go to take off.
And there were guards there, weren't there? And no, so he said call the guards, right?
Yeah.
And but they did get the amulet.
Yeah, and then when did they run into the lion guy?
Okay, that's coming up because they escape somehow. I think they bribe the guards or something.
Yeah.
And I can't remember that actually, but I know they get back to Maisie's house.
Yeah.
And she says
they escape out the chimney. The guards are later.
Okay.
They escape out the chimney. Right. They climb out the chimney. And yeah.
Maisie goes, listen, you've got to take me with you. I'm serious. I mean, she starts tearing up.
Yeah.
And everything. She says, I can't deal with this. I mean, she was basically saying, I can't deal with this world. I mean, take me somewhere else. I'm never going to die. Why should I have to stay here the rest of my life?
Yeah. You know, and the doctor keeps refusing, it's unclear why at first.
Right, because, and she gets this really, after he refuses her like about 3-4 times, she gets this cold, dead look in her face, and she goes, okay, and you hear a cat growl.
Yeah, and that's when the alien shows up, and it's this big guy. He looks like Beast from Beauty and the Beast.
Yes, he does.
But he's this big lion-looking dude. His name is Leandro.
And I wondered, is this guy related to those nurses?
I don't know. It seemed different. I mean, he's breathing fire.
And he's a conqueror. I doubt it.
Yeah, so it turns out she had met him when he was on Earth.
He crash landed on her property.
He crash landed, and they were looking for the amulet so that he could get home.
Right.
Because it would open a portal to another world. And the doctor's like, well, why didn't you just tell me about this? It sounds like there's a part of this I'm not going to like. And they said they have to take a life in order to open the portal. They have to kill somebody has to die. And she implies that she's going to kill her housekeeper guy, who's this, like, gimping blind man.
Yeah, and he's this sweet old man.
Yeah.
And the doctor goes, no, don't. And she starts calling for him, right?
Oh, you know what? A scene we missed. As they're leaving.
Yes, we did. We missed a big scene.
as they're escaping that place where they stole the amulet, another guy on the road, another highwayman. His name was Sam Swift. He tries to rob them. He tries to rob the doctor and Maisie.
And there was a part there where she called. They were trying to pass themselves off as father and daughter, mm-hmm. right? And they subdue Sam and his allies. You're not going to rob us.
Yeah.
And she turns around to him and she goes, "You're not my father." Like that. I mean, she is so embittered and angry.
Yeah.
And just, I mean, world weary. I'm fascinated by this character.
Yeah.
I'm so fascinated by her, Doc.
Sam Swift's just this other roguish, fucking.
He's a cool guy.
Yeah, he's a cool guy. He's like, he's handsome. He does jokes and puns and shit, which pisses off the doctor because he hates puns. So while the doctor is arguing with back with the lion guy and they're arguing about how she can't kill somebody, they get word that Sam Swift has been captured and that he's going to be executed.
Because they think he's the nightmare.
And so Maisie's like, oh, okay, cool. We could just go where he's executed and open the shit. We don't have to kill my butler.
Right.
And she's like, see, I do care. And they leave the doctor tied up there.
Well, no, actually, the doctor said, see, you do have humanity left.
Oh, yeah. He says that. That's right.
Yeah.
So they tie up the doctor and leave him there and call guards. And she tries to act like, oh, he broke in. He's an accomplice of the nightmare. And he broke in to try to get me.
Because you guys got to understand her motivation here. She's wanting to get off this planet. There's too many bad memories here for her.
Yeah.
She's probably lost. I mean, we know she's lost children. She's probably lost husbands. You know, she watched her father at the Viking village die, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And so.
So she wants to go with the lion guy because she figures exploring the universe would be funner.
Yes. And it would be.
Yeah. And the doctor won't take her, so blah, blah, blah. So,
yeah, well, Maisie does go, you refused me, so yeah. I this is my other option.
Exactly. So they leave, and the doctor is trying to convince the guards to let him go. And he's like, no, look, she's the nightmare. I'm not an accomplice of the nightmare. I'm here to help. And
they go, she's given us 20 pounds to you know, 20 pounds?
Yeah, and he
is
goes,
that all?
He goes, but look, I know where all her money is. I could get you at least 30.
and they buy
like, oh, okay. So they let the doctor go. So
that was funny.
Maisie and the lion guy, and the lion guy's kind of keeping his face hidden. He's got a hoodie on. They're at the place where Sam Swift's going to be executed. He's going to be hung.
And Sam is doing his gallows humor, which I never knew what that meant.
Yeah.
But apparently, if you could keep the crowd laughing, you can look this up on Wikipedia, Doc, but apparently if you can keep the crowd laughing, they won't execute you.
Yeah. So he's doing that. He keeps doing jokes to make the crowd laugh, and he's doing good, but then he starts to run out of material, and the crowd starts to boo him and shit.
Yeah.
And then the doctor shows up, and he... Sam Swift recognizes the doctor from earlier when he tried to rob him. And he yells at him. He goes, oh, look, it's the doctor, the accomplice of the nightmare. And the doctor starts providing, like, setups to his jokes.
Jokes, yeah.
To keep the crowd laughing.
I wish to God I could remember some specific things they said, but it was so fucking funny, man. It was...
Yeah.
Because he would... The doctor knew... He wasn't the nightmare. He was, you know, he was just a bumbling rogue.
Yeah.
And he starts, they start bouncing off of each other. The crowd's going wild. And,
we also found out, I forgot, that a shielder never gave her other chip to anybody. She never deemed anyone else worthy enough to, forever with her.
I think she would not wish that on anybody else.
That's probably it, yeah.
You know?
So eventually, Maisie gets annoyed that, like, Sam Swift hasn't been executed yet, so she can open the portal. So she just grabs the medallion and, like, sort of shoves it in Sam Swift's chest.
Yeah.
And it kills him. And it starts shooting this purple beam into the sky. And they're like, purple, the color of death. Which I was like, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. The purple. You don't play any Blizzard games. You wouldn't know that. But yeah, the undead are just bathed in purple light. Yeah.
Got it. So it opens up a portal.
Doc says, got it. Don't care.
Don't care. So this opens up a portal in the sky.
And you see this really cool
in the sky.
You see this really cool, like, hole open up in the sky, and there's planets.
Yeah.
And, oh, man, it was a really cool special effect, I thought.
But it turns out old Lionel, or whatever it is.
Lionel Jefferson.
The Thundercat. He's like, he's double-crossing Maisie.
Right.
And he's just opening the portal so that the rest of his squadron can attack Earth.
You see these ships kind of warp in around the portal, and then all of a sudden...
They're firing.
They're firing down on people, and...
Yeah. And Maisie's like, oh, shit, what the fuck did I do? I done fucked up.
Yeah.
And she's like, now all these people are going to die, and the doctor's like, look, you do care, see? And she's like, you're right, I do care. And they're like, how do we do this? And he goes, well, his death is what's powering this portal being opened. What if we undo his death? And she takes the chip out and slaps it in Sam Swift's forehead.
And it oozes into him.
It oozes into him. And then the light turns from purple to like yellow. And I think the doctor says, yellow, the color of immortality. It's like, I didn't know all these colors.
Oh, yeah, man. You're not hip to the Blizzard world.
I guess Doctor plays Warcraft. So, Sam Swift wakes up and the portal closes. I forget if Lionel gets away or what happens to him.
He says, well, if this guy's not going to get, we came here to see somebody get executed, execute the doctor now, right?
Yeah.
Was that next or?
No, I think that happened before that.
Okay.
Yeah. I just forget what happened to the lion guy. How did he get away or?
Like he got teleported away, didn't it?
Okay.
Did he? No, he turned yellow and kind of. I don't know.
Yeah. The lion guy's gone.
It was ambiguous.
It was
at
ambiguous
best.
What happened to the lion guy. I just can't remember. It's probably like we need Doc to show up and go, no, he didn't. We need a third dot.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Ah, jeez there.
Yeah. So then it cuts to, like, them at a bar celebrating. And, you know, she's like, is Sam Swift going to live forever? And the doctor's like, probably not. I think a lot of the energy from that went to closing the portal, so he'll probably die a normal death. It probably just repaired him. And she's like, are you just making that up? And he goes, yeah.
Yep.
So then she's like, well, you know, still, why won't you take me with you? And he's like, look, it was something about how, you know, you need shared experiences. And, like, loss is important to help us be more human.
Right.
And if these two immortal people just start traveling everywhere together, he's just worried that it'll change them.
Yeah, he was basically saying that the part that makes a human's life so wonderful and special is that it ends one day.
Yeah.
You wouldn't, you will never appreciate life if you knew, well, I'm never going to die, you know.
Yeah, so, and if the only person you hang out with is someone else who never dies, that you don't see that loss happening.
And it's here where the doctor said, and I can see it in your eyes. You know, because, you know, we've talked about that facial expression about how it changed on her. Yeah. Macy's a really good actress.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. He also drops, he goes, yeah, I traveled with another immortal once, Captain Jack Harkness. And she's like, oh, who's that? And he goes, you'll probably meet him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, then he kind of gets in the TARDIS and leaves her to, you know. Oh, they have a thing where he goes, you know, he's like, you know, I'm gonna watch, keep an eye out on you, you know, check in on you. And she's like, well, I'll need to keep an eye out for you too, because you're the guy who, like, does things and then leaves. And so I'll be there for the Claras who eventually get left behind.
Yeah, and the doctor goes, so what, are we enemies? And she goes, no, it's not your enemies you need to watch, it's your friends you need to watch.
Yeah.
Which was creepy as hell.
Yeah. She's pretty much saying she's going to be there to make sure that the people that the doctor affects aren't just completely fucked up after he leaves.
Okay, guys.
Because that's like what happened to her.
Yeah. Prepare yourself.
Prepare yourself.
Because remember that. And then finally now we see Clara.
Yeah, and it turns out Claire was at Taekwondo practice.
Right.
So
Taekwondo.
Yeah, so she wasn't on this adventure. But he lands and picks her up. And she's like, hey, how you doing? And he's like, yeah, good, good. And she goes, oh, I got a present for you. That girl, there was this girl you helped with her homework one day, and you took her to meet Winston Churchill and whatever. And she passed her test, so I got you a selfie with her. And he goes, that's a shitty present.
Yeah, that's a shitty present. He goes, but she didn't have any money.
Yeah. And she goes, ah, fuck it. And he goes, no, all right, let me see it. And he looks at the selfie and he goes, that's great. And then his face twists like, wait a minute, what the fuck? And he looks and he zooms in the background and you could see clearly Maisie Wilson is like spying on Clara.
Yeah. And Maisie has what I described as a crazy evil face. She was like, she looked weird.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And no kidding. I'm not exaggerating. I got chills down the back of my spine.
Really?
Because I was like, okay, she's still fucking alive. She knows Clara's with.
Well, then you're going to love my theory.
Okay, great. So anyway, yeah, guys, that fucking kind of shook me up a little bit but the doctor just blew it off almost. I think he didn't want to worry Clara.
So listen to this theory.
Okay.
Back in two episodes ago when they're under the water. Under the lake.
Under the water. Shut up.
No,
that wasn't the name of the episode.
I'm Walter Matthau.
I'm Walter Matthau, a.k.a. Doc Weezer.
At the beginning of Before the Flood, it's that right. One. The doctor's talking to that soldier girl, right?
And she's, soldier girl?
Soldier girl. And she's very familiar with the doctor. In his history, because she was apparently a spy for UNIT or something.
Right.
So she knows a lot of his background. She even name drops. She's like, Rose and Martha and Donna probably didn't have much trouble. about shit. And he's like, hey, you seem to know a lot about me. And she's like, yeah. And, she asks, like, you know, what year they're in. And he goes, oh, we're in the 80s. And she goes, oh, wow. Before Saxon. Saxon was the master, of course. Before something else, before the Minister of War. And the doctor goes, the Minister of War? Wait, you know what? I suspect I'll find out about that soon. So apparently there's this thing the doctor hasn't dealt with yet called the Minister of War. I bet Maisie Williams is the Minister of War. And we're going to find, and she's going to come back at the end of the season, and we're going to find out what the fuck that is.
That's my theory. That's a good fucking theory, man. That is a real good fucking theory. And I don't want this character to ever go. I'm fascinated with her.
Yeah.
When he zoomed in on Clara's shitty iPhone and saw her behind this gate at Clara's school with this grin on her face, staring at her, I was like, oh my God, what is this? What's happening here? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see where that goes.
I agree with you though. That's probably, I hadn't forgot that about the Minister of War. Although I thought since, you're right. I bet you anything that's what it is.
Yeah.
And guys, I hate this foreshadowing that they're doing with Clara. I mean, she's gonna get killed. I just know she's gonna get killed.
You know, there's a theory on the internet about Clara, because they've noticed little moments like the doctor looking worried about her and shit out of nowhere. Yes,
he did. He did at the end of this episode.
Yeah, he did that too. Yeah. So there's a theory on the interwebs, and it'll be interesting if this comes true. There's a theory that to the doctor, Clara has already died. And he's visiting her in the past.
Oh God, that is so fucking sad, man. You know? Yeah, but I mean, yeah, he there was this,
like,
weird.
He's already been on their adventure where she full on dies, and now he's going back and visiting her for all these adventures this season. That's the theory right now, because of just all the different looks he's given her, like he's worried about her.
And they really made it clear at the end of the woman who lived, they spent a good couple of seconds on the doctor after Clara said something, and the camera almost zooms in on the doctor's face, and he looks depressed, worried, and he's just staring at her.
Yeah.
And I mean, it just, I don't know. There's a lot going on this season, man. And
can I tell you something else I appreciate about this season?
What's that?
Daddy? Feeling more of one long story.
Yes, yes.
Than individual episodes.
I agree.
And I think what's doing that is they're keeping continuity with things. In older Doctor Who's, I mean, even as old as last season, or as young as last season, I guess you would say, you know, the Doctor might establish something in an episode and then you never see that thing again.
Right.
But this season, I mean, at least in one of the parts, the Doctor's playing guitar. And in fact, in this one, it was when he was waiting for Clara to get back on the TARDIS. He was just like strumming the guitar. The sonic sunglasses wasn't a one-off gag for that episode. He's been using them every episode since. And just little touches like that are making it feel like one long continuous story, where sometimes Doctor Who episodes, because it's a serialized show, it's week to week new adventure, except for two-parters. But sometimes it feels disconnected. Like the adventures don't feel like they're all. It feels disconnected in a way. Like oh, here's just another adventure. We're on with them. Oh, here's another adventure. It's like it feels like this is one story so far this season.
I completely agree with that. It's the thing that worries me about this. I mean, even like last season, we had the thing with the Missy, but still, it didn't seem so continuous as this does. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Also,
continuous.
Okay, that works. That works. What was I going to say? Okay, so next week's episode.
Looks fantastic.
So this is actually a kind of a sequel or a, so what happened with that from the 50th special, The Day of the Doctor? Because if you remember in that special, there's a part where the Doctor are trying to get the humans and the Zygons to agree to peace.
That's right.
And to just, you know, share Earth together. Because all these Zygons were, you know, trying to get there.
And there was peace, wasn't there?
And, well, we never saw what happened with that. If you remember, the Doctor then had to go do his thing, save Gallifrey and all that shit. So this is kind of the, you know, apparently humans and Zygons did come up with an agreement, and they've been living side by side on Earth since then. And this episode seems to be about a certain, like, part of the Zygons revolting to this idea. And trying to go evil again.
The Zygons are shape-shifting aliens.
Yes.
Who have been wanting to invade Earth for millions of years.
Yeah.
Hundreds of years, in fact.
Yeah.
Ever since their own planet, Zygor, was destroyed during the Time War.
Yes! what's interesting is that Ingrid Oliver, who plays Osgood, is back in this episode. Where she died in the... Series 8's two-parter.
Yeah, so we know that that's a Zygon, right?
Well, no, not necessarily.
What?
I have another theory, and I think it's going to be true. I don't think that's a Zygon.
Let me redo that.
Yeah. Oh,
what? Okay.
I think this episode takes place before the two-parter of last season.
Oh, okay.
From Unit's point of view. From the Doctor's point of view, no, but from Unit's point of view. And here's why I think that. You notice the Doctor's grown his hair out a bit compared to last season?
Big time.
It's a little more wild. When he meets up with Kate Lethbridge Stewart, the director of Unit, she looks at him and says, haircut? You remember that?
No.
Yeah. Now, a lot of people thought she was referencing the fact that last time she saw him, he looked like Matt Smith. And thought, like, that's her cute line, like, oh, you regenerate. And she just goes, haircut?
Oh, okay.
And I think it's that she met him as a wild-haired 12th Doctor in this next episode, the Zygon Invasion. And then she went on, and then the whole thing with the Master happened. And when the Doctor shows up again, his hair's shorter, so she assumes he got a haircut. I think this takes place before those episodes and before Osgood was ever killed. And I bet there's going to be a thing like, should we warn Osgood?
Man, this stuff gets deep.
Yeah.
It really does.
So that one's also going to be a two-parter. It's the Zygon Invasion.
Oh, you're kidding me. We're not doing a show next week then. Okay.
Yeah, no show next week. So it's the Zygon Invasion, and then the second part is called the Zygon Inversion. And they're both part one is written by Peter Harness, and part two is written by Peter Harness and Stephen Moffat.
Okay.
Yeah. So a lot of two-parters this year so far. I mean, so far every episode's been a two-parter. I'm quite liking it because it gives breathing room for the storytelling.
Yeah,
You were a little annoyed with it last episode.
Well, no, not last episode, but the two before that.
Before that.
Fucking,
the opening.
The opening. Shit. Can you remember it, Doc? Wow.
Magician's Apprentice, is familiar.
Yes. I thought that could have been done into a good 90-minute episode. But, last week's I liked that way. I think I might have said differently, but I changed my mind on it. And this week, these were two fucking stellar episodes. I loved both of these.
Yeah.
A plus on both, Doc.
A+.
A+ on both from me.
I'm in agreement. I agree. What's great is after the Zygon, the two Zygons, we will get a one-parter.
Okay.
Unless they're fooling us again, and it's also a secret two-parter. But yeah, I don't fucking know.
All right.
All right, I'm going to go shit out the entire contents of my stomach.
Doc, have you ever wished that there was a disc you could put in your mouth that would just forcibly remove everything out of your body? that would kind of like move down your stomach and intestines, and you would just
get
sit
all the
on
badness the- out. I've often said that if I had if I had three wishes, one of them would be that poop just disappears from my body and I don't actually have to go poop.
Yeah, you know, guys, I know none of you who are listening to Two Fat Daleks here will ever know this, but I'm going to give you a little trivia about me and Doc. Doc and I considered seriously doing a show called The Shit Show, where we just talked about our bowel movements and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah,
it's a fascinating conversation topic.
It is.
For dinner time.
Yes. And are you eating chili? Then sit down and listen to this.
I have to tell you, this one time I ate some chili.
Well, I'll tell you, man, that chili sure does go down the wrong way. You know what I'm talking about?
And this one time I had some Kung Pao chicken, and man, it Kung Pao'd out my asshole 30 minutes later.
Yeah.
In the form of liquid. Okay. Okay, we're going to cut all that.
In the form of liquid.
We're going to cut that. All right.
We should leave it all in.
Oh, shit. But yeah, in fact, I'm going to go back and watch them again this afternoon. I loved them so much. I really had a good time.
Love them so much, can't count all the ways I died for your girl, but all they can say is, isn't that your kind?
What is that song from?
That's Girl, You'll Be a Woman Soon.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It's by Neil Diamond, but the one in Pulp Fiction is a cover band.
So, just a side note, this week I got an official BBC Doctor Who, the Visual Dictionary.
Ooh!
And it's the one that's updated with everything from last season.
Ooh!
And I also got a Doctor Who encyclopedia.
Ooh!
That I have been reading. And I also got visual history of Doctor Who, which has everything from the how they made the series, old photographs, you know, stuff from every season, stuff on every Doctor, little tidbits, set pieces, costumes, everything. It's a really, really good read. So
I got a book two birthdays ago. It's called The Dalek Handbook. And it's all about, like, the different Dalek designs throughout Doctor Who and shit.
Oh, God, I've been wanting something like that.
And then it goes into, like, history of, like, stuff that happened in Dalek-themed episodes it talks about. It's up until the Matt Smith era, because it was from a couple of years ago. But, yeah.
Can I guess something?
Sorry.
Does it have a chapter that says they finally conquered the stairs?
It does bring up the fact that they could float, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I think that's it for this episode.
I agree. And yeah. I had a good time today, Doc. This is much funner and easier to do with you here. I don't get flustered and start doing imitations and putting down my father.
Yes, you do. I don't remember you putting down your father in that episode.
What, I mentioned his jewelry.
No, that was in, you did that on your show, Halls and Rorschach.
Oh, God, that's right. Oh, yeah. My God. Yeah, you're right.
You
you're
and
right.
Holly were talking about diamonds, and you're like, oh, God, you know who wore diamonds? My father. He was a damn woman.
Yeah, like that's the worst thing you could be.
That made me laugh so hard. He was a damn woman.
Oh, God.
All right.
Listen, guys, I want to apologize to the other Doctor Who podcast as well.
No, fuck them. You're right. They do suck.
Yeah, they really do. So I'm fuck with you.
I was so happy you brought that up. But why do they...
Yeah.
You're
doing it. You're doing it. I mean, it's just...
But I don't understand why the Doctor wouldn't just take her with him. Like, why wouldn't he just bring her along? He could have Maisie, he could have Claire, and she'll live forever and be his friend forever, and they could make babies together.
Oh, and by the way, he's not exaggerating. So.
Yeah, that's exactly what those other shows are like. I
thought the glasses broke last week when the Viking snapped the glasses in two. Why does he have a new pair? Gee, I don't know. Because he's a fucking Time Lord and he can pick up as many pairs of glasses as he wants.
Yeah.
Piece of shit. You know how many times Matt Smith broke the sonic screwdriver, just had a new one the next week.
Jesus.
It happened all the time.
It's just, it's too much. And I love listening to them because they're so awfully bad. I mean, it's like you want to watch Mythbusters blow up a cement truck. I mean, you know. All right, guys, listen.
All right, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
I got a shit.
At Rorschach 7 and on More Like Radio, Halls and Rorschach Show, Saturdays at noon.
And I'm at DocuWeeds. That's it.
Play the sound effect.
Play the sound effect.